white race can possess their very own land. There's just one rule you've got to understand, that sellouts must die and the loyal survive. It's kill or be killed to stay alive. Racialists keep talking, but getting nowhere. We've got the door slammed in our face. Jews in the media keep us off the air. They think black and brown can take our place. Like birds of prey, everywhere we roam, we feed on carrion underneath the loam. We are predators now, and it's time to fight. We hide in the dark and strike at night. The fires we set burn until the light of day. The tolerant will fall and be left to decay. The white rich will perish from their negligent ways. Their betrayal of us brought their dying day. Racialists keep talking, but getting nowhere. We've got the door slammed in our face. Jews in the media keep us off the air. They think black and brown can take our place. The cities smolder from our brutality. Death and destruction as far as I can see. No more passing literature or demonstrations. Now is the time for the conflagration. Racialists keep talking, but getting nowhere. We've got the door slammed in our face. Jews in the media keep us off the air. They think black and brown can take our place. Racialists keep talking, but getting nowhere. We've got the door slammed in our face. Jews in the media keep us off the air. They think black and brown can take our place. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf, white pariah, white werewolf, white underground insurgent, white gorilla, radio calling. And this is tape 6, I believe, program 12. The flip side of this cassette was program 11. I forgot to announce that. Ghost Wolf Radio is a ancillary radio program from the Insurgency Radio Network. Other ancillary programs are Lone Wolf Wall Street, Lone Wolf Computer Man, Lone Wolf Southern California, and even Dennis Mahon. All this is made possible by our friend till the end, Tom Metzger, who can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. Write Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Make sure you buy some things from him. Write him and give him a request for certain training DVDs. He's got them ready. They're all set. You can keep them for as long as you like. Call the airing update line at 574-267-5036. Let's be logical about something. That's what's missing in our society is logic. They have fine-sounding arguments, our opposition does, but they're not logical. All the goals of the social Marxists and the liberals and the sellouts all fall under the umbrella of the philosophy of the impossible. No matter how much money you pump into black holes, euphemistically called inner city schools, you will not get your money's worth. Millions and millions of dollars will be wasted, maybe for a handful of shining examples who really would evenly match up with probably mediocre whites. So either way, you're not getting your money's worth. There's a story I wanted to talk about, if I can find it. Well, I'll read that later. Right now, I want to talk about Winfield Mouder and Gary Mattson, two white guys, gay, heavily into the, or they were heavily into the gay rights movement in California. On July 1st of 1999, they were gunned down in their bed. I'm not sure what town it happened in California, but I need to say it was California. Their credit cards were stolen, and whenever someone's credit card is stolen, the police automatically flag that credit card number. Whatever purchases are made after somebody has been presumed dead, they found that the credit card number was used to buy some things the next morning after the murder, and the coroner determined that the time that Mauder and Mattson were murdered was roughly between 2 and 3 in the morning. Between 2 and 4 in the morning, as you well know, are the best times for breaking and entering. They were shot in their beds, like I said, with a 22 caliber pistol that had a silencer. So the cops flagged the credit card, and sure enough, the next morning, some gun reloading equipment was purchased with the credit card, and it was supposed to be shipped to a post office box. The fact that these two men used their credit card to buy something and actually have it shipped to a post office box, if you think that's exploiting anonymity, you're wrong, and they were wrong. I would have never used a credit card, someone else's credit card, to have something sent to an address that was linked to me. That was a blunder that they did. Matthew and James Tyler Williams, two brothers, turns out they were responsible for the murder of Winfield Mauder and Gary Mattson. And don't get me wrong, I'm not crying over their corpses. Personally, I think that Matthew and Tyler Williams should have chose a different target. As it stands, Matthew and Tyler Williams were white separatists, heavily into the white separatist movement. So, they went to the P.O. box to pick up their gun loading equipment, and they were apprehended. When they searched the homes of Matthew and Tyler Williams, they found newspapers about an arson spree. Newspaper clippings, like a souvenir of an arson spree of three synagogues that took place in, I believe, another part of California. There was literature left at the synagogues where they were firebombed. They weren't exactly firebombed. They used breaking and entering techniques to get into the synagogues. And nothing elaborate. They just smashed a window to get in. And left literature at the scene. So when the cops apprehended Matthew and Tyler, because they believed they were connected with the murder of Mauder and Mattson because of the electronic paper trail of caused by using the credit card, which they shouldn't have done. Searching their apartment, they found newspaper clippings about the arson spree. They found the same literature, same type of literature in their apartment as that they found at the synagogues. They also found a book on arson, using the same arson technique that was used on the synagogues. The books displayed or taught about the same arson techniques as what they used in the synagogues. Matthew and James should have read the books, discarded them, before they would have acted. I'm not coming down on these guys. I don't judge anyone. I don't judge anyone for whatever action they deem necessary. I refuse to even remotely come close to condemning Benjamin Smith for what he did. He, based on the knowledge he did what he had to do. Or Buford Furrow, I think that's the white man who shot up the McDonald's in San Diego. I won't condemn that. I won't condemn Timothy McVeigh. I will look at these men and speak of them with respect, every single one of them. You may not agree with what they did, but they did something. And they need to be respected for that. So Matthew and James, I have respect for them. They didn't put too much forethought on it. I mean, in one aspect, they put a lot of forethought into it, but in other aspects, they didn't. In the trunk of the car of the car that is owned by Matthew and James Williams, Matthew and James Tyler Williams, I'll call them Matthew and Tyler from now on. Aryan brothers, who probably had the same mindset, they found a crowbar in their trunk, and sure enough, there were glass shards, microscopic glass shards, on the crowbar that matched the windows to the synagogues, the security windows, you know, like the plate glass window that they have. They have a way of tracing the, I don't know what word it's called, refraction, something dealing with the reflection of something. They submerge glass in oil and find out when, at what point, at what level of light going through the oil where the glass is transparent, I guess, and they can match it to a specific type of glass. They can match, it's basically your fingerprint is matched to your body, they can match glass to an origin. They have that scientific technology. But in Matthew and Tyler's residence, they found books on the book on the arson technique that they use. They found books on B&E. They found books display, saying that, you know, between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning is the best time to do a B&E. Most people are sleeping. Neighbors next door would be sleeping, probably won't hear anything if you use surreptitious methods. They found books that said that it'd be best to wear coveralls when you do a job. They found shards of glass in the men's apartments because it was on their coveralls as well as on the crowbar. Something else was on the crowbar. There was paint, green paint, microscopic flecks of green paint that was matched to the doorway of an abortion clinic that was firebombed. I shouldn't say firebombed, because that implies Molotov cocktail. They didn't use that thing. They actually broke into the abortion clinic. They had a plastic gallon of gas, and they had a piece of cloth tied to the handle. So they light the cloth on fire, and then the cloth would burn its way to the plastic container, and then the heat and the container would melt the plastic, and then the gas would seep out, and it would just basically go up. You know, a lot of arsonists have used that. They used a wick, they used any kind of wick, like maybe strips of a t-shirt, a sock. There was one black guy, an arsonist in Washington, D.C., who did a lot of damage. And I saw a picture of this guy. You know what I was talking about on the other side of the tape about, have you ever seen a black bomber? You can tell that this white guy has some, or this black guy, Freudian slip there, this black guy had a, no, fuck Freud. This black guy, you could tell he had some white in the woodpile. He passed for black. His skin was brown. He had the chia pet hair. You know, but his bone structure in his face and his facial hair, you could see that he has white in the woodpile. And anytime I notice that you get some intelligent black guy, he's always light skinned, or you can tell by his facial features that he has white in the woodpile. Show me a black genius that looks like he came just out of the Congo, and I'll give you $1 million. I can keep that $1 million because you'll never find one. Black paint found on the crowbar matched the doorway to the clinic of the abortion clinic. So, they have evidence tying in the three synagogues going up in smoke and an abortion clinic. Okay? The homemade wicks that were on, one of the firebombs survived in the synagogue, meaning the cloth wick burnt out before it had a chance to ignite the gallon of gasoline that it was tied to. The plastic jug, like a milk jug or some kind of oil, some kind of carrying jug that you carry oil in. I think that was a good container to have, because a plastic container that carries oil is thicker than a milk jug plastic container. The plastic on a plastic container of milk is very thin, whereas the plastic on a carrying container of oil that you buy at maybe a Napa or a Carquest parts store is thicker. So I don't know why they just didn't use some milk jugs. I don't know. But the wick that survived of the firebomb that didn't go up had chicken feathers in it. Had dog hairs and cat hairs, and guess what? That chicken feather and those dog hairs and cat hairs were genetically profiled and matched to the dogs that the Williams brothers owned, the cats, and they had a outhouse full of chickens behind their property. The silencer that they used, they made a homemade silencer. By the way, they found a book in their possession on how to make homemade silencers. At the end of the silencer was a microscopic piece of blood, and it was matched to Winfield Mauder, one of the murder victims. Also, the Williams brothers lived not too far from the gay couple, about a mile, a little over a mile. Like I said, guys, whatever ghost swoop activity you decide to do, and I will not judge it, you decide for yourself what needs to be done, which is reflects the power of the ghost wolf. There's no centralized committee determining who does what. No centralized committee that can be penetrated by Praetorians of Zog. You do what needs to be done. You yourself decide what needs to be done. And recognize that whatever you do, you are part of an international order of ghost wolves. You can think of Ben Smith and Timothy McVeigh, Buford Furrow, if I'm pronouncing that name right, and even Matthew and Tyler Williams as the precursor of the ghost wolf. The Williams brothers lived close to the gay couple, and I believe it was Matthew Williams that worked with Gary Mattson at a fruit stand or produce stand or something during the incarceration period. Matthew Williams committed suicide, and of course they said that, oh, he took the coward's way out. No, he didn't. I salute you, Matthew Williams. Why allow yourself to be... I respect this man because he recognized no one lives forever. You know, I mean, I made a plea deal with the DA to get life in prison instead of the death penalty. Fuck that. Why? So they can... I guarantee you, I'm making a prediction right now, and I hope I'm wrong. I believe that there's going to be an interview, a jailhouse interview with Matt Hale, probably within the next 5 years. And they're getting their prison authorities, they're going to know when this interview is going to take place, and they're going to make sure that they make Matt Hale's day before that just a living hell. So that the Matt Hale you'll see on your TV screen, maybe on 2020 or some other illusion of free speech in America, you know, all these Face the Nation and what's the other one's on Sunday morning? This Week with Mike Wallace. That's all orchestrated bullshit. That's all that is. So you'll see Matt Hale on something like that, 2020, or some documentary. And he'll look worn down. He'll look weak and timid. I guarantee you. And I'll bet you they arrange it so he's singing a different song and dance. Brothers and sisters of the Ghost Wolf International Order, it is a microscopic chance that you could be apprehended because of your activities. I said microscopic. I guarantee you. I am living proof that if you just stay by yourself, you don't network, you shut up about race, you get racial tattoos covered up. That tattoo I have of Beowulf is covered up.
because I know that's what people knew me by at the National Alliance. My hair's all grown out now. Not quite a hippie, but I'm well on my way. You see me on the streets, and I got a long sleeve shirt on, you would never guess that I was a racist. I told you guys in the show before to keep short hair because, you know, if you get your hair pulled in the fight, you know where the body goes, the head will follow. I've been in plenty of fights, and I've yet to get my hair pulled, so. But anyways, Matthew Williams commits suicide. And I just want to take this time out, and I'm probably the only one who's ever done this, take time out and show respect to Matthew Williams. He chose the warrior way out. Make no mistake about it. That's one thing we need to give respect to the Asians about, especially the Japanese and the ancient culture they had in the samurai. Seppuku. You jam that fucking Tanto short samurai sword blade into your gut and you rip it across the other side. And then a friend of yours stands over you to chop off your head. Not as disrespect, but as respect. They chopped off the head because that was usually a souvenir of the opposing army. The head. Matthew Williams, I hope you're in Valhalla right now drinking a nice big cup of mead. I don't fault you for what you did. I would have chosen a different target than Winfield Mauder and Gary Mattson. I would never charge Gay or never put Gaze as my target. That's just a waste, you know? Let's just change society and Gaze will go away. I promise you. You don't have to go around killing them. There's a lot more other targets in the white race that need to be exterminated before, you know, a gay couple does. I tell all you guys out there, stay away from Obama and stay away from gays. It's just not worth it. There are other more important people out there that need to reap the whirlwind. But James Tyler Williams was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So being in a box, being in a cage the rest of your life, or in general population, which most inmates prefer, general population, because they have human contact, they can, you know, get involved in some kind of the black market thing going on in prison or whatever. You know, not all men get fucked in the ass in prison. That's something Hollywood wants to keep beating into our heads about. I was locked up for 6 months. That's something that didn't even come close to happening to me. And I was nowhere near the guy I was then that I am now. I was more of a wuss back then. So, it is time for us to build the warrior in us. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but... And because of that, I think maybe my Ghost Wolf shows might be numbered. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sit here and keep repeating myself, but one thing I will keep repeating is that the Ghost Wolf, the lone wolf, fanatical white separatist who's out doing things, is unstoppable. Why do you think they want to put cameras everywhere? They don't have them everywhere yet. And you brothers in London, you can get around that surveillance net. You can. Your activities have to take place at night. And I've seen some of those surveillance footage of various street fights in London on documentary shows they got here about stuff that's caught on surveillance. I'm telling you, if you wear nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing, they won't know it's you. And when you walk around in London, make sure that you get into that neighborhood as stealthily as possible. You may need to ride a bike and ditch it somewhere that's not in view of the camera. You may need to wear different clothes wearing that bike. Wear different clothes wearing that bike, because you will be caught on some kind of surveillance somewhere. You ditched a bike nowhere near where a camera is, maybe in an alley behind a dumpster somewhere. You guys have that, I'm sure you do. And you put on different clothes and get back out on the streets, knowing full well you're under surveillance. Not you, but thousands of other people. Why would they pick you out? He don't have no reason to pick you out. They'll be looking for you if your description matches a man doing something at the scene of a surveillance camera. Then they'll look for you. But you make a stealth away, get back to where your bike is, put on the different clothes, and calmly ride your bike out of the area. Maybe you need to walk a lot of miles to get into the area you're going to operate in. Britton Brothers, you can get around that surveillance net. You just you do whatever you can to get around it. You can do it. I have faith in you. You're operating by yourself. You're not with a cell. If you do have a cell and these guys are trustworthy, don't do any more recruiting. You don't need anyone else. If it's you and two other buddies, stay that way. You have enough. If it's you and one other guy, do not recruit. But you can get around all that. Matthew and Tyler Williams, may Valhalla smile upon your arrival. I just hope that Tyler Williams doesn't be worn down by... Now, this incident happened in 99, and I guess he was incarcerated or sent to prison at least by 2003. So that means he's been in the joint for 6 years now. Probably hooked up with Aryan Brotherhood. That's if he's not in one of those jails that has... where you're by yourself, you're in your own cell for 24 hours a day, you know. So, we need to remember these men. You may not agree with what they did, but they did something. So they deserve your respect. We do some reading here. Out of Separate Living, a journal for the right to self-governance. Okay. And I'm going to be reading an article by Eric Thomas. Thompson, sorry. The strategy of target selection. As the struggle for white self-determination intensifies, the Zionist occupation forces will pull from their bag of dirty tricks such devices as counter-dissonance. I guess dissonance is a word similar to dissident, which is a dissident is an insurgent. It's somebody who's not going along with the political program. That's what a dissonant is. Maybe I should have looked up this word. Okay, just pause the tape there to look up the word, and it is what I said it was. So, all right. Pull from their bag of dirty tricks such devices as counter-dissonance and phony combat cells. That sounds like the pseudo-gangs I read about in a couple tapes ago. Line most con games... And these vicious ploys have made subtle variations which can be left to the reader's imagination. Counter-dissonance is a tactic used by corrupt and inefficient government to discredit its opponents when it is unable to defeat them in open battle or with the usual campaigns of suppression involving mass arrests and the like. It is usually brought into action when the regime's opposition can no longer be ignored and when the opponents have obtained favorable publicity through propaganda of the deed. My propaganda of the deed is what Matthew and Tyler Williams did. That's propaganda of the deed. I don't agree with the couple that they chose, but, you know, they did something. Show them respect. Propaganda of the deed, such as the freeing of political prisoners, the seizing of military supplies, etc. The government is obviously unable to guard effectively all important targets at which the opposition may wish to strike, nor can it ferret out or otherwise neutralize the opposition activists who are doing the damage. Resources are clearly limited. The regime cannot draft everyone into the armed forces, nor can it afford to maintain the existing forces on combat-ready standby for an indefinite period of time, to be determined by the regime's opponents, the fat backsides of the Jews. Satraps squirm uncomfortably among the horns of a dilemma, upon the horns of a dilemma. Counter-dissonance is one means available with which to solve the problem presented by the opposition. The government sends its own agents into the field, disguises or identifiable as members of the opposition. Government agents posing as ghost wolves and shit like that. Posing as pissed-off white people. These agents commit hideous acts of terror and violence against the civilian population in the name of the opposition. Hey, you remember the Iraq War was going great for the Iraqis until the Sunnis and Shiites started killing each other. And what led to that? All they know is there was an important mosque for the Sunnis that was blown up, and they saw three men dressed in all black one night go into this mosque, and then it blew up. That was not no fucking Shiites that did that. That was Mossad. Come on, guys, you know that's true. Okay. Opposition. These agents commit hideous, all right, against the atrocities are publicized in a matter unfavorable to the government, and the people will begin to waver in their support for the opposition. They may even deny their support and work against the opposition by betraying its members to the government forces. Well, they can't if you're a ghost wolf. For suitable rewards, of course, the people will think the government is certainly corrupt and inefficient, but at least it is not vicious, like its mad dog opponents, meaning white racists. When the people begin to think this way, they become lost to their own salvation, and the defeat of their would-be rescuers is only a matter of time. The positive programs of the opposition, meaning Zog, are forgotten. No, I mean, sorry. The positive programs of the opposition, that's us, are forgotten, and inertia, that ultimate ally of all governments, reasserts itself. The government, such as it is, has won. The Jews, those two-legged chameleons, are expert at such duplicity. In Poland, their massacres of German civilians were blamed on the Poles. In Ukraine, their vicious atrocities against the Germans were blamed upon the Ukrainians, and vice versa. Dressed in German uniforms, these same Jewish murder squads committed atrocities sufficiently heinous and grotesque that they were able to destroy white unity and influence many white people in the Soviet satellite to support the Jew commissariat. In more recent times, Jews have attacked U.S. installations or near Arab countries. The Lavon affair, I don't remember that. L-A-V-O-N. And they nearly succeeded in sinking the USS Liberty, hoping to affix the blame for these cowardly assaults upon their intended Arab victims. Had the real culprits not been discovered and possibly identified as Jews, our Zionist occupation government might have convinced us to declare war on the Arabs in the 1960s. Since these incidents and others were revealed as kosher, the Zog's Jews media treated them as non-events. And this article is being prepared for publication October 96. Wow, it's fucking old. The jury is still out in regards to the New York Trade Tower explosion. That's the one that happened in 93, before the planes were flown into it. All of this shit is about red flag operations, you know, they aren't what they seem to be, okay? But there's evidence that a certain security firm known to be a Mossad front had access to the tower. If the Mossad was sloppy and covering his tracks, then we can look forward to this incident becoming another non-event to vanish down the Orwellian memory hole. The United States and its USSR branch office, in quotation it says, all nations under Zog, performed similar atrocities in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. Okay, thus has the sufficient data been gathered and enabled U.S. Zog to orchestrate such terrorist programs to a fine pitch, allowing for racial and cultural variables. Counter dissonance is Zog talk for drowning out a noise with a bigger noise. Let us be alert to the sound of the Zionist music. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, in the 1930s when the stock market collapsed, there were a lot more people informed on who was behind all that. And you got all this shit going on now in the financial circles, but there's just so much information out there. How can a racially aware white person, or a white person in general, determine what's truth? Because there's just... The Jews bombard the airwaves with information. And 99% of it is misinformation. You know, and it's up to you, white man, to determine what's true and what's not true. Phony combat cells will be brought into play as the revolutionary white nationalist struggle intensifies, because it will soon become apparent that a growing number of white activists will desire to combat the armed occupation forces with armed resistance. The occupation authorities will oblige by setting up and publicizing certain opposition combat groups, complete with weapons. Such combat formations may even take part in attacks upon occupation forces and installations, but these attacks will be strictly limited in scope so as to leave unimpaired the economic infrastructure. Ghost Wolves, stay the hell away from anything. Anything that sets itself up as something that opposes Jews and the government. Whether it's above ground or below ground. Ghost Wolves, stay by your fucking self. You are untouchable. Stay by your goddamn self. Don't even fall for this fucking shit. Once the bag of activist recruits is deemed sufficiently full, the drawstrings are pulled, and the government forces today are reported to have surrounded a terrorist stronghold, killing or capturing all of the criminal elements involved, except for a stealth-style terrorist Commander X who escaped law enforcement net. Only by an exceptional stroke of good fortune. Bullshit. He was a fucking Jew. He was a Jew who rallied around him a bunch of white insurgents who were pissed off, said, we're going to take it to their ass, and they were foolishly followed this motherfucker. God damn it, talk right. But you won't do that, Ghost Wolf. You will stay by yourself. You don't need to hold someone's hand. You got balls? Your ancestors sailed the seven seas and walked on the fucking moon? The fuck you afraid of? You don't need comrades. Your gun is your comrade. Your knife. Your Molotov. Your B&E tools. That's your fucking friend. You want a friend? Get a dog. Danger signals for the Valiant, both ploys and their variations, can be readily identified in regard to the selection of targets. The targets chosen by ZOG agents will not affect the economic means of production and distribution, the economic infrastructure. For the impairment and destruction of these targets usually produce the revolutionary mass upheavals which the occupation authorities do not want. Thus, targets will be selected that will cause noise rather than damage, even when large numbers of lives are lost. The results of such calculated misapplication of force will be the isolation of the revolutionary group from its popular support and the acquisition of a mad dog image for the revolutionary movement as a whole. With luck, such atrocities will lead to disunity and even internecine warfare amongst the opposition. That means internecine warfare between Vinlanders and Ku Klux Klan against NSM, NSM against the National White Workers People's Party, whatever the hell, you know, Bill White's organization. Let's not play into their fucking hands, people. You may be thinking right now, well, Frank, what if you're one of these guys? I'm not gathering people around you or around myself. I'm telling you to separate. They did the best they could to separate the white race throughout the 60s and 70s, atomizing us, taking away our racial knowledge and our racial identity. And filling that void with bullshit. Now white people as a whole. There's no collectivism amongst whites. You pick out any fucking Mexican man, mestizo, piece of shit on American soil, and you ask him, name five things that describe you. And definitely within the first five things, he will choose his race. You do that with blacks, you do that with Asians. I've done this experiment with whites before. I'm like, name 20 things that describe you. Not one of them. And I've done this experiment with at least 10 to 11 people. Not one of them chose race. People of color would choose race within the first top five. Guarantee it. White people don't. Stay by yourselves, Ghost Wolves. If there remains any doubt among target selection in a national liberation struggle, it should be pointed out that the London Blitz and the Mad Bomber Delights, Hamburg and Dresden, killed off more people in a few hours than did all the anarchist bombings in history. None of these attacks had the desired effect of destroying the national war effort, quite the contrary. I don't quite know what he means by that. Human targets are rarely productive of a revolutionary situation, but material targets usually are. Destruction of the means of human life, okay, rather than the destruction of human life itself, generally results in revolutionary collapse, as in the cases of Russia and Germany in World War I. Imagine, for example, the results of a delay in the welfare checks, a halt in a key means of transportation, or a sudden curtailment of electronic power. Compare such possibilities with the results obtainable form. There must be some typos in here. It just doesn't flow right, some of this. Compare such possibilities with the results obtainable form. I think he meant from the assassination of even one big name enemy or even hundreds of racial enemies. Thus, you may distinguish real revolutionaries from Zog agent provocateurs. Editor's note, the above can certainly be taken as correct with the destruction of certain elements of the needed infrastructure. We can take a lesson from New Orleans after the destruction of Hurricane Katrina. Okay, so I guess this thing was upgraded because that was 2005. Oh, editor's note, of course. We can take a lesson from New Orleans after the destruction of Hurricane Katrina to see what happens once infrastructure is missing, especially electricity, which will eliminate most food and water. As the stores rely on electricity to sell their goods and water treatment plants rely on, come on, turn the page here, electricity as well as the water pumps to work, all considered the results of the traffic jam without traffic lights working correctly. Much of these so-called terrorist plots have never targeted anything worthwhile. Therefore, we should be skeptical of these events. Even a semi-learned guerrilla knows that these targets are semi-learned guerrilla knows of these targets. Anyone who has ever read Mao Zedong, Che Guevara, T. Lawrence, remember that's Lawrence of Arabia, and Carlos Manjuela, that's the Brazilian insurgent who tried to lead an insurgency in the 60s, or any other guerrilla expert knows that the targets should interfere with the infrastructure of the enemy state, not just make noise. People are rarely targets for the guerrilla or terrorist. Therefore, the plots of anarchists of the past must be questioned, if not their motive, at least their competence. I think you spelled that wrong. You spelled it C-O-M-P-E-T-E-N-T-S. It should be T-E-N-C-E, right? Anyways, whatever. I don't want to fucking have a grammar school lesson here, but that is a very well-spoken article by Eric Thompson there. Well, I don't know who that guy is, but that's a damn good article. And I got this little issue of Separate Living from an associate. So, but think about that. It is very, very likely they will pose. I mean, they've already infiltrated all the groups. That's why I am just beseeching Jeff Scoob and all these guys that have organizations to break them up. Break them up. And when these little groups form, they'll be able to weed out those that aren't real, those that are wearing a mask. But you ghost wolves, if you're in a group, you can still be a ghost wolf. Get out of the group. Don't give no warning. Listen, don't worry about hurting people's feelings. Just drop out. Don't say nothing. Don't come to a meeting and say, hey, guys, this is my last meeting. I decided I'm going to go on my own. Because if there's a fucking plant, a FBI fed in that group at that meeting, he's going to let his boss, his handler know, hey, there's a guy named Joe Schmedlap. At the last meeting of NSM, he said he wants to go solo. He don't want to be doing this no more. Guarantee that guy's going to be put under surveillance. His phone will be tapped. They'll be looking into his mail. So you guys that are part of groups that may come across this show, and that's one thing that fucking pisses me off. That not enough people, I think, are getting these shows. And not for my own self-glory. But I think there's too many people out there in a white racist struggle who don't even go to resist.com. They just want to fart around with this fucking bullshit organization stuff. But if any of you who belong to organizations come across this show, Tape 6, Program 12, that I am recording on St. Patrick's Day at 2:01 in the afternoon. No, I don't have a job. I go to work when the sun goes down. But if you're getting this show, just drop out. If you go to monthly meetings for any white racial group, just drop out. Just stop. Stop going. Okay? And if you have the intestinal fortitude to do so, don't return anyone's phone calls. And if you're somebody who has real close friends in this organization, how long have you known that guy? Well, just a couple years since you've been in the organization? You don't know who he is. There was this guy that came to our National Alliance meetings. I don't want to say his real name. Wink, wink. His name was Tony. Had black hair, glasses. Sharply groomed guy. He was part of the United States Navy. He used to come from Great Lakes Naval Base to be part of the, come to the National Alliance meetings. Sorry for having to pause these tapes every so often because I kind of cough in my throat. But he used to come to these meetings. I remember one time, he brought a videotape for us to watch at the National Alliance meeting. And basically, it was put on by American Renaissance, that Jared Taylor guy. And basically, you know, there's some guy giving a speech about illegal immigration, and as a training device, he was using this tool where he would pour marbles into this thing, and I guess the marbles that were being poured into this thing overwhelmed the other marbles. And, you know, there were black people in the audience. And we're watching this, and, you know, we were watching maybe the first 5 minutes of it, and then we just started talking amongst ourselves. I mean, looking back on it, guy had black hair. Yeah, I mean, he could have been a Jew. I think he had an Italian surname. I don't remember what it was. But I always felt uncomfortable about that guy. And you're going to find that in organizations. You're going to find guys who want to lead the organization down much more passive trails. Much more passive means. That's why the right wing needs to be utterly destroyed. I don't want them broken up. I don't want the leaders, you know, having a small people around them. I want something to happen to them. I want their cars to go off cliffs and meet a fiery end down below. I want them to get some strange powder. I mean, this is just me talking. I'm not going to do it. I'm not telling you guys out there to do it. But I would love to turn on CNN one day, sipping away at my Monster Energy drink, low carb, you know, the one with the blue claw marks. And I would just love to hear about all right-wingers, white right-wingers, just biting the dust. We can't reform them. They have shown throughout the decades now that they have nothing but taking the meat out of the white struggle. They've taken the teeth out of it. That's what they've done. Not the meat. They've taken the teeth out of it. We're like a fucking lion that's got that requires dentures, you know, and glasses, and orthopedics. That's what we've become. Powerless. Because we don't got enough guys saying we need to feed the wolf inside of us and not the sheep. And that guy, Tony, Tony's his real name. Fuck you if you ever get this. If I ever see you again, better not be a dark alley. I know for a fact, I know deep down in my bones, you were either an agent provocateur, not meant to draw towards criminal activity, but to just to lead our organization down anymore. You know, and I remember his excuse for showing that video was that he wants to be able to reach all kinds of people. Listen, we've tried that. We don't want to meet no more fucking people, get the message out to a bunch of white people. They've had more than ample opportunity. You know, I mean, they should have enough mind of their own to see the History Channel play something on George Lincoln Rockwell and then say, you know, I'm going to go search this guy out. You know? They on History Channel, their documentaries about Nazis in America, they've done you know, little segments on William Pierce and National Lions and his bookstore, National Vanguard. They could have ordered books from him. They had all the opportunity in the world to find out the truth about all this shit, but they didn't want to get their hands dirty. They didn't want to do the research. They don't want to read dusty books. They want the man on TV to decide for them what books to read. So you have no excuse. I'm not talking about you Radio Club listeners. You guys are the Delta Force of all this. I'm talking about the average white man and women. You have no excuse to say you didn't know. And if there was ever a judgment seat and an anthropomorphic deity of the white racist struggle was to sit on that throne and you appear before it, you have no excuse to plead ignorance. Every white man and woman in this world has been exposed to at least something that should have pricked their interest to search out things on their own. Now, I found National Vanguard strictly by accident. I already told you that story. But there's no excuses. All these organizations have done over the years has done nothing but lead us down blind alleys. They frustrated future hardcore leaders with bullshit. No more. We are applying a new tactic for a new day. And the only way to stop the ghost wolf is to put a chip in every single white man and woman on this planet. They don't have the logistics to do that. They're working on it. So when I tell you the window of opportunity on what you are trying to accomplish is it's not going to be open forever. Your time frame is limited. We have more and more people being put out of work. We have more and more people losing their jobs, losing their homes. But yet the system is still developing the latest technological tool they can use to monitor movement of the masses. So keep sitting on your ass, white man, afraid to join the underground international brotherhood of ghost wolves. You can go ahead and turn this show off right now if you don't like what I'm saying. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to be popular. I don't even give a shit if I'm liked. I don't even give a shit if I'm hated by you guys, the Radio Club. I'm not talking about the white man. I'm talking about the Radio Club here. That's what I'm talking to right now. I don't care who likes me or who doesn't. But we are in some serious need. We need men to stand in the gap anonymously. We need guys to leave these organizations, to go on their own, grow their hair out as much as possible, get their tattoos obscured with other tattoos, wear nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. A little mistake that Matthew and Tyler Williams did was they killed these two guys. They only lived a mile and a half from their house. What did I say? Nothing near where you live or where you work. But then you can turn around and say, well, wait a minute, Frank. Matthew and Tyler Williams weren't known to the system. You're right. But they got taken down because they kept forensic evidence in their trunk, the crowbar. They should have sterilized everything that they had before they brought any forensic evidence into their house or in their car. They should have parked in a nondescript parking lot, an apartment complex parking lot, maybe close to where some bushes and trees are. They get out of the car. They should have done some kind of aerial reconnaissance on Google Earth or something, pick the best covered and concealed route to their objective. When they got out of their car, found a nice covered and concealed position, and they got backpacks. They should have put on the coveralls then. Okay? And that place where they're putting on the coveralls, that could be their ORP, their objective rally point. Then they would walk to their objective, exploiting every shadow and every bit of cover, concealment, and camouflage. did what they did, okay? When they're coming back to their car, they come back to that ORP, that objective rally point, the place where they put on their coverall. They will take their coveralls off carefully. Yeah, the clothing you have on underneath it will have the fibers of the coveralls, but they won't have the glass shards on there. You know, your clothes underneath the coveralls will have fibers of the coveralls, but they won't have, they will not have the fibers of the carpeting of Winfield Mauter and Gary Mattson's carpeting. Okay? Carefully taking the coveralls off, they will put them in the, maybe a fucking trash can liner bag, stuff it in their bag, and make sure that they brought no forensic evidence into their car, thereby not bringing it into their house. With the crowbar, before they put that thing back in their car, they should have a wet cloth right there. That when once they open the trunk, have a wet cloth right there and wipe it off. Thoroughly wipe off that crowbar with that wet cloth. Then you take that wet cloth and you'll put it in a Ziploc bag. So the thing that you wiped off the crowbar will not get into the interior of your trunk and the carpeting. Just a little forethought. And then these guys would not have been taken down if they didn't use the guy's credit card. Don't use anyone's credit card. If you need to use their ATM card and they're a racial enemy and they're serving the Chinese occupation government, they're sellouts, they're serving Chinese occupation government under the auspices of Kris Kringle. They're doing that, well, you know, you come up to the ATM and you make sure you got a wide brim hat and you look down or do something to obscure your face. But don't choose a way to obscure your face that would be seen from across the street. There was a guy in Florida that killed this lady, took her credit card, and then when he went up to the ATM, he had an umbrella out on an 80 degree night on a full moon sky with not a cloud in the sky. He opens up an ATM or opens up a fucking umbrella at the ATM and it walks up the ATM and then you punches in the number and all that. But he's seen a lady was at the ATM and she saw this and it stuck out. He shouldn't have done that. Study the criminals and learn from them. Because the fact of the matter is there's a fine line between criminal acts and revolutionary acts. And don't forget, that is so because we allow our self-appointed masters to have that power over us to determine for us what's crime and what's not. But yet it's not crime for them to fleece us of every damn dime we got, AIG. And every one of these senators who, you know, these committees and these Henry Waxman or whatever, and they talk to these bankers so hard when they're doing these hearings and stuff. But they're in on it. This is a dog and pony show meant for you to think that they're serving your interest. They don't give a fuck about you. Why should you care about them? How can you not have a big wide smile on your face if one of their jets goes down? If one of their limousines, their armor-plated limousines, is blown up with a M72A2 light anti-tank weapon, other known as a LAW. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. I'm not telling you guys to go out there and do it. I'm just saying I'd like to turn on CNN one day and just hear about it. The Ghost Wolf is untouchable. You are untouchable, Ghost Wolf. The chance of you being apprehended is microscopic. If you just follow some things, but you don't want to overanalyze it because it'll paralyze you, that's nonsense. Yes, that's true with some people, but why should it be with us? Overanalysis leads to paralysis, right? I don't think it's overanalysis for you to thoroughly recon an area from above, from using map books, from actually walking the ground, noting where things are, trying your best not to write anything down, wearing nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. The sun goes down, you go to work, and then you get out of Dodge. You're careful where you park. You don't park nowhere near the objective. There have been situations where I parked miles away from the objective because I had the type of terrain I could walk through without anyone seeing me. That's not the type of landscape you'll find in an urban area, but out in the suburbs you will. All we're looking for is a few good men. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Give your souls to God and load up on lead, because ghost wolves are the walking dead. And they don't contact anybody. They don't brag about their deeds. They don't talk about race. And they talk about their own deeds if their friends are talking about it. They talk about their own deeds with disgust. And they never bring it up amongst their friends. 14 words, comrades.